Well, if you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, we're going to finish out chapter 3 today. It's a great day to be here at Wallace Street, and I'm thankful that we're all here together to look at the Word of God and what He desires us to know from Him today. If you were here last week, you were with us as we discussed the opportunity that we all have to continue in schooling. We talked about what was the purpose of the law. Why did God give the law? And said, first of all, that the school of the law is a guardian for us, or it's a custodian for us, or a tutor that would lead us to Jesus Christ. Secondly, we had the school of faith. The school of faith, we're moved from a place of judgment under the law to a place of being justified before God freely by grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And then finally, we had a chance to look and see that after we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, again, not any man-made additions that have been tacked on to what Jesus' finished work was, but when we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, we can live and walk in the school of God's promises from His Word. He gives us promises that are precious. The great news for us, as we saw last week again, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, where in Jesus Christ all of the promises of God are yes. There is no that God would have for any promise that He has given to us. Every promise that God has given to us is yes in Christ. So today we're going to look at how Paul closes out this section of his letter to the Galatian church, seeing this recognition of the unity which God has called us to have and the equality that truly does exist in Jesus Christ. So let's read together. We're going to kind of rewind just a little bit over some verses that we had last week and then take it from there through the end of chapter 3. You'll read with me Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 25. It says this, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." So as we look today at these verses, I want us to take away three things. Number one, the genuine faith is the great unifier, or ought to be the great unifier among believers. Number two, who we are in Christ brings about biblical equality. As we look at the Word of God, who we are in Jesus Christ through faith brings about biblical equality. And again, finally, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen people along with the Jews, as we will see here at the end of today's message. Number one, genuine faith is the great unifier. As you were reading these verses, as we were reading these verses together, one of the things that stood out to me in preparing today's message was the two times that Paul mentions this in this section. He mentions in verses 25 and 26, now that faith has come, we're no longer under the guardian, we're no longer under the law. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all." That word "all" that is there. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons, and that word in translation is sons and daughters of God through faith. This great unifier of faith, that we are all sons and daughters of God. Again, he repeats that in verse 28 after he goes through this list comparing Jews and Greeks and slaves and free and male and female at the end, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." In our responsive reading today, we went through various verses that talked about this unity that we have, this oneness that we have through Christ Jesus. I don't know if you've ever met somebody, maybe you have, someone who claimed to believe in something, but you could tell that their claim was just not genuine. It seemed like maybe that they were almost trying to convince themselves as they were talking to you that what they were saying was true. Maybe even hoping that as they were explaining whatever it was to you, that you affirming whatever they were saying would actually convince themselves that what they were saying also was true. Maybe you have met as someone or talked with someone in a situation like that. But that's not what we're talking about here when genuine faith is the great unifier. This has to be something that is real. When we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we must have genuine faith. We must be assured that Jesus is who He said He is, and He did what He said He came to do, and that He will come again and do what He said He will do in the future. This is genuine, persevering, and lasting faith. And when we have genuine faith, it is a great unifier for us. Then we take the step of obedience, of being baptized as a believer. Being baptized into Christ is a way for us to publicly be united with Christ. For any of you who were able to recently witness Connie's baptism here at Wallace Street, you saw someone who was publicly identifying with Jesus Christ. She had private faith that she had put in Him, and she had shared that with a few people, but she wanted to publicly identify herself with Christ. Again, this can take place in a baptismal. It can happen in a river or a creek. There's a church here along 10th Street that uses a horse trough. They just bring it in. They fill it up with water. I think Doug may have baptized someone in a bathtub in China even. It doesn't matter what the location or what the instrument is. The importance is that after we have put our faith in Christ, being baptized is a way that we are publicly united with Him. That's what it tells us in verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As we talked about before Connie's baptism, this is not a thing that saves us. It is something that happens after we have put our faith in Christ. We are putting on Christ, saying, I identify with Him. I'm united with Christ publicly. Saving genuine faith also unites us with one another. We've talked about this in previous messages, but in our culture today, I don't think we can remind ourselves enough of the importance of seeing ourselves as a united body of believers in the midst of a culture that has become and is becoming more and more opposed to the Church of Jesus Christ. God calls us to be united. The culture is often fine with us as long as we keep to ourselves. They say keep the religion within the walls of this building and then they're all right with that, but that's not who God called us to be. He called us to be salt. He called us to be light and to count the cost of following Jesus. So when we do that, it is crucial that we're united in the strength of our faith and in the truth of the Word of God. We sang about this morning as we sang, O come, Emmanuel. It says this in verse 4, In one, the hearts of all mankind. And then it says, bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. There are divisions that take place. There are things that should divide true believers in Christ from the world. We've talked about that in the previous chapters in Galatians. When someone's trying to add something to the gospel, or people are opposing the gospel, we cannot stand and claim to be united with those who are not genuinely putting their faith in the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, it is essential, it's crucial for us to be united with one another. to be willing to overlook differences in personality or differences even in beliefs that are not central to the gospel. We were having some time this weekend to talk through things, and it burdens my heart when Christians divide over things that are not the essentials of the faith. And when we become more divided than united over what God desires us to be united on. Genuine faith, saving faith, is something that ought to unite us with one another. Secondly, biblical equality is who we are in Christ. Our identity in Jesus Christ brings about biblical equality. And I want to clarify this. Sameness is not how God defines unity and equality in Scripture. It is not sameness. We can find ourselves tempted to believe that in order for there to be equality, everyone has to be the same. That is how, again, our culture is trying to destroy the lines that God has already drawn in distinctiveness in how He has created us. It does not mean that, as He lists out here, male and female, or the slave or free, or Jew or Greek, that there are not differences in distinction, particularly male and female. Our culture is assaulting those things and trying to say that it's all the same. It's all the same. I read an article this week that from a lady who is just saying that it destroys her precious nature of how God has created her for them to say, well, you're just the same as a man and there's really nothing different. And, you know, we should just stop trying to define ourselves in this way. She said, no, don't do that. You're stripping away from me the beauty of how God has created me. And so there is an equality that God brings about in Christ, but it does not mean that there's sameness. We are not one and the same. God has given us distinctive ways that He's created us, male and female. He has given us, and we'll talk more about this in the coming year as well, He's given us distinctiveness in how He has gifted us spiritually within the body of Christ. If we were all the same, Paul's referred to this, if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? We'd all just be a bunch of spiritual eyeballs bouncing around here. But we need differences among ourselves, but also an understanding that in Christ there is equality. Secondly, I want us to see ourselves as a part of the Wallace Street University. Unity within diversity. I heard recently that universities were actually started in this way, as a place where unity was expected in the midst of diversity, diverse ideas. Putting those two words together to make the word university. If you have seen any information in the news over the last couple of years, you have found out that places of public instruction are no longer places that would have diversity of opinion. It's not tolerated. Professors are fired if they believe that there is a God who created the world as professors of any kind of science. There's a movie called Expelled where it shows where this agenda is being pushed in our public universities. In the church, however, God expects us to be, again, united around the pure gospel of Jesus Christ while enjoying the beauty of the diversity of believers that God brings into His kingdom. There is a wide variety. Heaven will be a wide variety of a lot of different cultures, a lot of different languages, but all brought to a place of unity under the pure and true gospel of Jesus Christ. Finally, in these verses, I want us to see where in faith we are also united with God's chosen people. Again, in verses 28 and 29, it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to the promise. We mentioned this again last week. earlier in chapter 3 refers to Abraham and the fact that we are also heirs of this promise. We are united as God's chosen people who have been grafted in to God's original chosen people, the Jewish people. A great passage in looking at this is Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. It says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision." Again, this is just labels that the Jews had put on. The Jews were considered the circumcision. The Gentiles were considered the uncircumcision. By what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We could go on further and talk about, again, He brings about peace within us. But Christ is the great reconciler. He is the Savior that takes us who were not with God, did not have hope, were not inheritors of the promise. And He brings us in as Abraham's offspring. As verse 29 tells us, if we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's offspring. Abraham being the father of faith, we being those who have put our faith in Christ, we are offspring of Him in a spiritual sense. And we inherit what was promised to Abraham. The promise of not just salvation that is offered to us on this earth, but also of eternal life with God in heaven. Abraham was called a friend of God. And we too, as His offspring, as heirs according to the promise, Jesus, and as He talked to His disciples, said the same. They were His friends. And He came to lay before them an example of what it meant to follow God, to follow the will of the Father, and to be united as believers. So as we look at this passage, I want us to ask ourselves if our definition of equality and unity is truly biblical. Do we think that everybody has to agree about everything? Or do we believe that equality is sameness? If that's what our definition is, we need to re-examine what the Bible is teaching us about what equality is and what unity is all about within the body of Christ. Secondly, do I have joy in my faith knowing that I'm a part of a local body and a large body? We just prayed for believers in other parts of the world who are suffering for their faith in Christ. We're a part of a larger body of Christ, but we are also a part of a local body. And there is unity worldwide among believers, but there ought to be unity locally among believers as well. Finally, do we know of someone who needs to experience the kind of unity that can only be found in faith in Jesus Christ? There's an attempt by the world to have unity over certain things, but there is never true unity anywhere unless the Prince of Peace is the one who is unifying those who are coming together. Otherwise, we're just masking things and we're probably internalizing a lot of things that when we're by ourselves, we really thought about the other people that were around. There isn't true unity. But in Christ, with the command to love the way God called us to love one another, when we're private and by ourselves, there should not be thoughts that we have about one another the same way the world thinks about people. We should be thinking about one another, praying for one another, and asking God for a love and a unity among ourselves that is truly supernatural. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You again for what Jesus has done. The Word says that Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. I pray that we would do that as we remember what Jesus did for us. All the while, that we would continue to pray for your guidance as we get ready to sing. Guide us to your perfect light, that is what our desire is, that we would be guided by you, guided by the light of your word, guided to one day be in the light of your presence, where there will be no need for sun or any other means of light, because you, your glory will be the light. And we long for that day, but until then, we remember today what Jesus did in order for us to have that hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.